is trouble. G.I. Joe is there.
G.I. Joe, American hero. G.I. Joe is there.
It's G.I. Joe against Cobra the enemy, fighting to save the day. He never gives up. He's always there, fighting for freedom over land and air.
G.I. Joe.
G.I. Joe is the code name for America's daring, highly trained special mission force. Its purpose? To defend human freedom against Cobra, a ruthless terrorist organization determined to rule the world.
He never gives up. He'll stay till the fight's won. G.I. Joe will dare.
G.I. Joe.
Welcome all once again to Nerds on the Rocks episode 128. In honor of G.I. Joe Retaliation coming out this weekend, we figured we'd take a look at Hasbro movies past, present, and future. But before we get there, let's introduce our toy makers. We have Wesley.
Yo! Wait, should I say saying Yo Joe or Yo G.I. Joe? Or should we be also doing this whole thing of like The Rock being Roadblock or all this weird crap? Joe. So, I don't really have a witty tagline. I just wanted the rain to say, Yo, Joe, and then get distracted and say, ooh, look at the shiny object, and then get distracted again and say, Yo, and then say, Yo, Joe. That was a random tirade, but, you know, that was
okay. We have Trent.
Hey, my bum's itchy.
That was random.
My bum is on the rail. My bum is on the rail.
We have Ashy.
I would like to, before we get down to the business of Hasbro, ask for us to have a moment of silence as one of my favorite bands ever has ended. It went out triumphantly, but it went out. So if we could just have a few seconds in memory of My Chemical Romance,
Oh. Their
memory will carry on.
Oh, you're the worst.
Hey, that might be more together. That's better.
We'll actually get more Umbrella. We'll probably get more on the Umbrella Factory then. So Umbrella Project.
Umbrella Academy.
Academy. Yeah, sorry, I got mixed up. It was like either a factory, Fat Academy. Fuck. Thank you.
We'll get more Umbrella Academy, and then the Killjoys comic is coming out this summer. But I want more music. I'm done.
That's cool.
And we have Nookies.
I thought you meant LMFAO, actually. I didn't know you were talking about My Chem.
Fuck you.
And let's be honest, if you want more music, I know plenty of bands who could help you out with that regard. Hey, have you heard of this band, Robots and Race Cars? They're pretty
good.
Oh, dude, I heard about that band. I heard they suck.
Yeah, they're
Plog. Plog.
They're
Plog.
I asked for 5 minutes to stay on topic. That acid's on.
We laughed about it.
Well, Pearl, to be fair, robots and race cars are more than meets the eye. Bringing it back.
They're being directed by Michael Bay.
Not anymore.
He's too busy ruining Ninja Turtles for a generation.
Oh.
Robots and Race Cars have been rebooted to be a Duncan Jones joint.
Oh, God.
Can we start a band called the GoBots?
Only if it's the GoBots versus the Rock Lords.
Oh. What are Rock Lords?
Wasn't that that movie they did?
Okay.
And also, you can have the Rock Lords meet Rom the Space Knight since they own.
Oh, Battle of the Rock Lords. I'm sorry, that was the name of the movie. Battle.
Yes.
So, curious to you folks. I wanted to focus more on the live action films, just because a lot of the animated films were actually tied in to the toy series as well, but they were also tied into mostly TV shows at the time. So yeah, we had a Transformers film and a G.I. Joe's animated film in the mid-80s after the success of the TV series. But it wasn't until 2007 when Michael Bay decided to launch Transformers as this live-action, I want to say mess, travesty, disaster, that...
Fuck.
There we go.
And, I feel bad because I vividly remember enjoying Transformers the first time I watched it. Mm-hmm. In my head, there was like a billion ways that he could have screwed it up, and he limited that to like 1,000. So.
And then he made Transformers 2 and figured out another 2,000.
I still have not seen those last two movies.
Yeah.
I can't do it, man. I cannot bring myself to watch the last two Transformers.
I actually...
Fallen is awful. There's a robot that has giant testicles.
There's a
robot that has giant testicles.
See, I don't even... I can excuse that, but there's a robot with a beard, and that just does not sit well with my sense of...
Tree beard is awesome.
Wasn't there a robot with a beard technically in Transformers the movie with the Quintessons?
Yeah, but it's animated, so it's easier to forgive it. Also, they weren't exactly robots; they were like jellyfish squid bots.
Well, they were still bots. They were still
with robots. Five faces.
With five faces, they were robots, just with five faces.
Gosh, that was weird.
I know. I referenced the freaking Quintessons.
I love that movie. That was an awful movie, too. The original Transformers movie was god awful.
The exact name.
Yep. Just awesome.
I will say this much. I actually did enjoy the first Transformers movie, and of the three of them, it's the least offensive.
It is the least offensive, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it has, I mean, I will say this. I said this before about the movies. As much as I dislike them, I do think they're good, fun cinema. The type of movies I like to see in the cinema because they're loud, they're bombastic, mm-hmm. they're over the top. You know, it's the type of visual appeal that kind of works for this ADHD generation.
I think that's unfortunate, though. Like, I've seen all these films in theater, and I remember thinking when I saw the first one, this is a really fun, fast-paced film.
Mm-hmm.
And the following two just seemed really loud and long and just too much going on at once, and it was full of the standard jump cuts and explosions that Michael Bay is known for. It was all flash and no substance. Whereas the first film, I thought, actually made an attempt to make a realistic approach to Transformers.
Well, make note, I mean, the first movie had Steven Spielberg involved, and then after the first movie, Spielberg said, yeah, peace.
Like, oh, yeah, Spielberg fucked off as soon as Spielberg he's
just
like,
said,
oh,
first movie, I'm out. Bye.
Contract completed.
I got my damn credit. I did my crap for this giant robot movie, and then I'm just going to go off and do something else.
This is probably for the best. Except that they kept Bay around. I mean, granted, they kept him around because the first movie made it.
He makes money.
Yeah.
He is very good at making money with the stupid.
Why?
At least Bay, he admits his style. He embraces his style. So
I don't think he does. I don't think
he makes fun of it now. I mean, the man just goes.
He admits that he likes explosions, which I think
a lot of people do.
A lot. Yeah.
They're
no,
awesome.
Fair.
Explosions are awesome.
Explosions are good, but it's one of these things, like, you see the same thing 12 times, you're less excited by it, you know?
Yeah, and that's the problem. He doesn't believe in moderation. Like, if he had maybe cut down his movies by
he doesn't know moderation. I remember watching Armageddon and thinking,
oh, God.
Blow up in space? They did. He took words and he blew them up in space. When you text out space, you can't blow things up in it. It's a vacuum.
Michael Bay can make anything possible.
Well, he can make explosions possible, and that's the thing. But
power. His specialist is mutant ability.
I find it ironic that Michael Bay is able to make things explode in a vacuum, because normally he's good at making things that might have some substance suck.
Suck. Bam! Whoa.
Wow.
But, yeah, I also think, and this kind of goes for all of the Transformers movies, if he also makes them extremely long, like, I think they're
well,
all
in his
okay.
mind, they're epics, though. In his mind, they are epics. In my mind, they're full of jump cuts and inappropriate racial epitaphs.
Yeah.
And the movie should probably only be, like, 90 minutes.
I legitimately think that he's racist, because if you look in all of his movies, there's at least one black or Hispanic or Asian stereotype that's crammed in there. I'll say it on this podcast. Michael Bay, I think you're racist.
I was about to say, I don't know if he's racist. It could be that maybe he wants, maybe, you know, it's one
I
of those things.
I guarantee he tones the internet for anything that mentions his name. So tag this when you post it.
So that means we are probably...
So he can hear me say that he's racist.
But I feel like it's one of those things where maybe he's not familiar with a lot of minorities, and he's kind of like, oh, we need to have minority characters
okay,
so people
don't show. Ignorance is never an excuse, though. If you're... like, let's look at number two. Now, if you remember correctly, there are two characters, Mudflap and what's his face?
Asshole.
Yeah.
I think that was his name.
Yeah. I have not seen these, but
so,
I'm going to enjoy
okay, so again, these are breakdancing cars, and I get that. Jazz was a breakdancing car, and I dug Jazz, and Jazz was clearly meant to be a black guy.
Mm-hmm.
If you watch the old show, you'll know that instantly.
It was voiced by Scatman Crothers.
Thank you.
Wicked. But it's one of these things. Like, you watch the second movie, there's two stereotypically black characters. You know, there's gold teeth, they are pimped out, they're like street racing cars.
What?
And then they just vanish at the end of the movie. And then you look you go to the third movie and you're like, he's too smart to use them again, because it gets a backlash. And now Sam Witwicky has these two little sidekicks that are like fourth grade reading level.
Ow.
Black stereotypes. Like, it's disgusting. It's disgusting. I feel like if he was trying to portray a certain type of person or a certain race, you can't use ignorance as an excuse. You're the one characterizing these people, right?
Ow.
They should be sick.
And he doesn't live in a vacuum. I mean, it's not like he doesn't interact.
Maybe he does live in a vacuum. Everything around him seems to suck.
He sucks so much that everything loses context in his perimeter.
One of these things, if you go and you look back at all of the movies that he created before Transformers, and really, if we're like, he's had his name on stuff before, but nothing really got him the amount of attention that the Transformers series did.
Mm-hmm.
That's when he really gained notoriety. But if you look back at Armageddon, there's these really unfortunate characters of races that are not his. That just seem very cardboard in essence. And everyone from white suburbia can be established and dynamic, and everyone else can just exist in a cardboard-like world where they only have one dimension, and that's the role they play in the film.
In Michael Bay land.
That's just me. I think he's a hack. I think he's a hack that's really good at explosions.
He is a person with a good eye for visual... iconography, like big stuff, like the big canvas of films. Like, Transformers is a really poor example of such because everything is just so busy, it looks terrible. But you look at stuff like Armageddon looks good,
yeah.
And The Rock looks good, and the Bad Boys movies are ridiculously over the top. They look good. Even Pearl Harbor, which is a terrible piece of shit, looks good.
Still, I've never seen Pearl Harbor.
But,
Pearl Harbor is
He has no concept of story and working the picture to the benefit of the script, it seems like. So, in movies like Transformers, where the script is like the last thing they're worrying about, they don't. They're just like, it's some robots fucking shooting each other. Who gives a shit? Just they're going after some bullshit. Just let them. Lots of gears. Go for it. And.
I think he knows he's a hack, though. I don't think he's a hack.
Is the problem. I think there is like a good movie in there. He just needs to have someone look. Hey, Mike, back. He's like, all right. George Lucas is a perfect example of this.
George Lucas is the same way. There is a good movie in there, and it was The Rock. The Rock is his best film, bar none. But
yeah.
if you, like hypothetically, let's pull the critics. Let's look at Rotten Tomatoes. You know, the standing average for all of his movies together is like a 20-30%. You know. None of his films come off particularly well, but they all tend to make money, so he continues to work.
He's very populist in his tastes, I guess would be a good way to put it. But I still think, there's a good movie in him if he has a good script and someone to rein him in. But like I was going to say, like George Lucas, like if you look at talking about racism, look at the prequel trilogy, there's racist shit all over that because there's no one to tell George Lucas, hey, maybe you shouldn't have the bad guys talk in this really stereotypical Asian accent. Maybe it's not a good idea to have the money-pinching merchant have a, let's admit it, kind of Jewish accent.
Well, what's even worse is, like, the Trade Federation, where all voiced by Asian actors.
Yeah.
And,
oh, And their design was based on, like, Imperial Japan.
Jar Jar Binks. Just Jar Jar Binks alone.
Yeah, Jar Jar Binks. Yeah, Jar Jar Binks. Like a mix between a bunny rabbit and a black stereotype. It's weird.
So,
and I don't want to make this a bash George Lucas thing, but that's because he had no one to tell him no. He had Rick McCallum going, oh, sure, George, whatever you say is great. It's going to be amazing. It's like
Rick McCallum.
You have to get – not to avoid going too far into this, but yeah, I always have to give Ahmed Best credit for Jar Jar Binks. Whenever time Jar Jar Binks pops up in anything, he will do that Jar Jar Binks voice, and he'll do it. Because he knew, like, yeah, screw it, I'll do the voice. Robot Chicken Star Wars specials, Jar Jar Binks does the voice. I mean, Ahmed Best, boom, does the voice of Jar Jar.
If you had a character that was nigh universally despised, wouldn't it be smarter to embrace it and
exactly.
be in on the joke?
Yes.
Halle Berry with Catwoman. She just said,
throw it. Her Razzie speech?
Yes. She
yes.
I embrace this. I will take these Razzies.
Hopefully I never see you people again. we're getting off topic. All right, so we're talking
about... Yeah, we're not going to get too far. Yeah, exactly. Like, embrace a bad character, go for it.
To bring this back to Michael Bay, when he had someone like Jerry Bruckheimer as a producer to rein him in, and be like, yeah, I like the big explosions too, but you got to bring the budget down and maybe trim this and maybe make sure that this makes sense or something. Mike, maybe, hold on. You can't shoot everything at sunset, and every girl in the movie can't be someone who you shoot.
Oh, God, that's
getting
the
blown
best
by.
Thing about Armageddon. Everything is at sunset.
Yeah.
There's not a fucking scene that isn't. I love
and
it.
Like, it's no coincidence that, you know, the ones that aren't produced by Bruckheimer are the really, really bad ones, whereas the ones produced by Bruckheimer are just kind of sometimes bad.
It's what makes Bruckheimer so perfectly suited for TV. He knows how to keep the budget down.
Yeah.
All right.
But Transformers was terrible.
Yeah. Transformers
was.
All three of them were terrible. They got progressively worse.
Fun. The first movie's fun, and then the other two
I will dispute that, actually, because when I saw it, like, much like y'all, when I saw it in theaters, I was like, hey, that was pretty good. And then when I watched it on DVD, oh my God, it was so goddamn boring.
I still never rewatched it since. So.
I haven't actually re-seen the second and third one since they were.
Oh, I refuse to watch them again.
Like I said, I think the Transformers film are films that you see in theater. They, like, if unless you have a really great home system, like surround sound, like 100-inch screen or something like that, they don't hold up. I think they have the substance of something you see in the film when you have an audience with you, but on your own, when you actually have to sit down and think about the film or throw your thing on and it's not like a big distraction, they have nothing going for them. I made the mistake of buying Transformers 1 on DVD after I saw it, and I watched it, and I'm like, why did I enjoy this movie so much? And I made the mistake of seeing Transformers 2. I enjoyed Transformers 1 for mine. It's fun. Transformers 2 just kind of, I think I've shared this story before. It's like, I remember the first friend I had who saw it came back to me and he's like, there's a robot heaven. That's all he told me about the film, is that there's a robot heaven.
What an awesome friend.
I would just love that. You go to see this movie and all your friends get looking at you, have this look going, there's a robot heaven. They just stare at you for like, just that sort of blank stare, face completely pale. There's a robot heaven.
You know, it's one thing that bugged me from the very start of Transformers. I really didn't like Shia LaBeouf. And I kept saying to myself, you know, there's going to be at least three films. By the end of the third film, I'm going to enjoy Shia LaBeouf. And I don't know if it was his character or just the fact that I just think Shia kind of sucks balls. But as time went on, I was just like, why am I still watching this? Why do I care what happens in his life?
And I think that's a very important thing. It's like, for Transformers, I think they spend way too much time on his character arc.
Well, that's the thing. I think the Transformers were used less as a main story focus and more of a framing device for his life. Like, at the end of the day, every single movie is still kind of about, you know, his living situation.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like, it would have been, like, I think even though the Transformers had human characters, because it's kind of like the Doctor Who thing, you can relate to the human characters in this extraordinary world, but it's not an interesting character. And his role in the movies become less and less, especially when you get into this huge kind of war scale, and he's still running around. Like, at some point, take your ass home. You are going to be crushed.
That's pretty good, actually. I like that. Pretty good.
Like, Megatron should be able to just step on him and call it a day. He shouldn't be the one defeating him at the end of the film.
It should be more like Bambi versus Godzilla.
Yes! Like, Bambi Godzilla. Silence. Silence. Thump!
I forget if it's the second or third one. I think it's the third one. That he's being chased by Megatron and he hides in like a building.
What?!
The worst thing about the third one, in my opinion, and I liked it a significant amount more than the second, specifically because it had Soundwave in it, was the fact that Megatron, who's been this, like, series antagonist, he's always been the antagonist, just receives the most anticlimactic death imaginable. It's just over for the guy.
So wait, does he get knocked into the Sarlacc pit by accident?
Sarlacc pit.
That also reminds me, and I don't want to think about this film too much, but that also reminds me of my biggest beef with Transformers 2. Well, yes, there is a single biggest beef. Is that they built up the Fallen as this huge threat, and Optimus literally comes in, fights him for 5 seconds, kills him, and that's the end of that character. Does he not know how? Like, you can do action. You can't film a climax.
I remember thinking to myself, like, where can the plot go from here at the end of the first Transformers? And someone came up to me and they were like, "It's going to be so awesome this second film because it's based on the comics. It's really going to delve into the history of the world." And I was "Okay, that sounds cool. I haven't read any of the comics. I heard the IDW ones are really friggin' rad, but I haven't actually invested any time." So I didn't know what the Fallen were. And I was sitting through the movie, and outside of laughing at, like, I laughed at the second one a lot more than the first one, but mostly because I thought it was inept. I just was like, why am I even here? It was one of the few movies that I think I've watched in theaters and thought about walking out on.
Oh.
It has nothing to do with the comics. The new ones.
That is good.
They just made up their own shit.
The Fallen.
Yeah.
G.I. Joe, on the other hand.
G.I. Joe is goddamn amazing.
One more point before we move on to G.I. Joe, and this is something that bothered me in 2, is that he made all the villains like metallic, so it's really hard to turn them apart.
Yeah,
and they're robots.
Yeah, especially with the way
the heroes are all kind of colorful, and then the bad guys are all metallic.
Are they? Are they really that colorful, other than Optimus Prime and Bumblebee?
Those are the main two you need to pay attention to.
Yeah, I remember when they were like, "Oh no, Jazz is dead." And I was like, "He was here?"
It's why that Robot Chicken sketch works, though. So I was like, "Jazz is dead." Like, "No, I'm not, guys. I'm perfectly okay." It's like, "I'm a robot. You can just fix me up." Jazz has done an honorable deed. Died with honor.
That was driving me nuts. I'm thinking, like, this. He lost half of his body, but I think his brain is still. Does he have a brain? This is a robot. Can we just throw a wrench on
that's
him?
What like, it, that's what works so well about that dang sketch.
We have a medic named Ratchet.
He's a robot. He can be sick.
Pull up his sleeves and fix another robot.
Just go grab the other half. Go.
Well, yes, and you're telling please. Me. You're telling me that you don't have, even if his brain had been hurt, you don't have a backup somewhere?
You always make a backup.
Yeah, they can't just put that.
Can't risk your data being wiped.
No. Somewhere, Jazz is still alive on a USB drive.
That's
how well remembered
it was the whole thing. They had it, and then they were going to do their wash. They forgot to take it out of their jeans pocket. And then,
oh, dude. What a waste.
They lost, like, a whole bunch of stuff, TV stuff they downloaded. They lost a couple essays. They had the newest Rush album, and they were so mad. So
I guarantee you they saved Jazz's being on a USB drive as a backup, and then when they found a new model of Jazz, they're like, "Oh, no, the port is for USB 2.0.
Oh,
no!
Snap.
Goodbye, okay. Jazz. This is the end.
now we can talk about G.I. Joe.
Yeah.
Okay, I need to get this out there. Because G.I. Joe, the first movie, Rise of Cobra, has so many haters. But I think those people missed the point because they were expecting it to be good. Now, let me explain something about
let me stop you right there. No, they were expecting it to be serious.
Oh, well, okay.
No one expected it to be good, and that's why I was pleasantly surprised.
G.I. Joe, the TV show, was stupid and inane and full of action and characters with really weak motivation, and Snow Guy was there. I mean, like, the show just kind of, we love it. There's not a single dork that I know that doesn't enjoy G.I. Joe, Real American Hero.
I only
However,
that.
I think most people can own up to the fact that it's a really stupid show,
yeah.
Realistically speaking. Like, you're not watching Citizen Kane. So when I went in to see G.I. Joe, The Rise of Cobra with my brother, who was also a huge G.I. Joe fan, we were loving it because it was just as stupid and action-packed and inane as the TV show.
Exactly. And
but
the
I think you really
CG
had to expect
help.
It to be bad.
The bad CG helped because it looks like an action figure comes to life. One of the few times that actually worked in
his
favor.
And Snake Eyes was there. I can't hate it. Snake Eyes was there. Everyone else is running around acting like idiots, and I'm like, Snake Eyes.
Yeah,
Sorry, guys, that's my input.
I believe I mentioned on this podcast, as well as many others, how much I love this movie. So much. It is so dumb. Everyone in it is so dumb and in on the joke, except Channing Tatum, who still thinks he's making a serious movie.
I know.
And it's so great. And yeah. As I've said before, it is the best Star Wars movie since 1983.
Yeah. I will never sell the DVD. I don't care if there's like an apocalypse and I need to use it as currency. I will hold on to Rise of Cobra because I think it's the shit.
I think there should be more movies where Channing Tatum thinks it is supposed to be a serious movie.
Well, I think Channing Tatum thinks that. I know he's become a big star, and I think that's the only reason why people are turning a serious eye to Retaliation. But I remember watching this, and I'm thinking to myself, is that Joseph Gordon-Levitt? That's Joseph Gordon-Levitt. What are you doing here? You're a good actor. What are you doing here?
But this is near the start of his big movie career.
I mean, there's a Wayans brother in this. Come on, people. Dennis Quaid is in this. No one should have expected it to be good.
I have a friend who owns the movie Cobra Commander action figure because it's Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
And it's ugly. It's
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. I figure so.
But yeah, I kind of.
You make like a custom suit for him.
If she hears this podcast, she probably will.
Oh, Lord. Have you guys hearing these interviews?
Like, badass suit. Oh, God.
You know what's brilliant? You know what's brilliant about Snake Eyes in this movie? He's played by Ray Park. And if you don't know who Ray Park is, and I understand that, he played Toad in X-Men.
Oh.
He played THX security guard number 2 in Fanboys. And he played Raptor 3/ Tarkata number 2 in Mortal Kombat Annihilation. And Star Wars.
Yes.
Oh, and he also played a role in Heroes for like the last season, but
Edgar.
Yeah.
He was also the Headless Horseman in Sleepy Hollow.
No, he wasn't.
I never knew that.
Yes, he was.
Well,
like, not the Christopher Walken part, but like when...
Not the Christopher Walken.
When Christopher Walken's head was on
his
it,
his lower half was the Headless Horseman.
Yeah, he was not playing...
Christopher Walken.
He was playing the Headless Horseman the rest of the movie when he actually had to do stuff.
So this is a guy who only... He's kind of like Doug Jones, where he's usually thrown into the mix whenever they need a guy in a suit. And he played the part perfectly.
Yeah, he was pretty awesome.
Yeah, Snake Eyes for the win. I don't care what anyone says.
Yeah,
best Star Wars movie since 1983.
I remember seeing the trailer for this and just thinking it's awful and it was going to be cheesy as hell. And it is cheesy as hell, don't get me wrong. But it embraces it so well and it does it with such, you know, it's a wink, wink, nod, nod here and there. And it just knows what it is.
And from what I hear, which sucks, it seems like they screwed up with Retaliation, where they actually make it take itself serious.
You know what? It's been really funny to see The Rock doing interviews for this film. And he goes, oh, yeah, I love that Channing Tatum and I are best buddies in this film and all this stuff. And I'm like, dang, man.
Are these interviews ones where he does not have the WWE title with
correct.
Him?
Correct. Yeah.
Why would he have that?
It should be noted.
He's not champion, is he?
I don't know. I haven't seen anything about it.
Okay. The few people who have actually seen Retaliation so far have actually said surprisingly kind things about it.
That's what I've been hearing too, honestly.
I've been expecting this to be like the shittiest film ever, but it's actually been getting some relatively decent feedback in spite of being significantly less costly in terms of budget and having kind of a shady looking cast. Like this film was originally
almost a year.
It was delayed. And I'm pretty sure if I was Channing Tatum, I would be trying to delay it forever because I'm sure he's looking around and thinking to himself, I'm finally a movie star. Like, people see me and they're like, hey, it's Channing Tatum. And then this movie is going to come out and his character is going to look stupid. And his character is going to look stupid.
But how is that? He became famous for 21 Jump Street and Magic Mike. It's not like he has, like, the serious work underneath his belt.
No.
Well, Magic Mike.
Magic Mike was totally serious.
He gets a fair amount of reverence for that, yeah. Now, this movie was originally supposed to be called Cobra Strikes. And I think that makes a lot more sense than Retaliation, mostly because when you see G.I. Joe Retaliation, I'm thinking, is G.I. Joe retaliating against someone? Because last I checked, there's nothing to retaliate against, really.
Well, actually, from what I understand,
you have to see the movie. They're retaliating. That does make sense in context.
I found out that Bruce Willis was in this movie like a week ago.
Really?
I know, like a big
deal about it in all the trailers.
Yeah.
Like, oh, look, we're going to get a real expert. And it's just Bruce Willis sleepwalking through a trailer.
At this point, is he an expert?
It's so funny to see how things have changed, because outside of the fact that there is a significant lack of Wayans' brother in this film.
Doesn't like to
if, you, if you look at the
Wayans
poster.
Brother get killed within the first 15 minutes.
Yeah, he would.
Doesn't he, like, I know it's, like, a good chunk of, like, the G.I. Joe cast from the first movie gets, like, killed within, like, 15 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah, because there was some type of contract.
I don't think he's even in there, though.
Who?
Marlon.
The Wayne.
Oh, no, he's not. I think, yeah, and...
I said A is.
From
well.
What I understand, and I don't know if this is considered a spoiler, because it shows up in, like,
Joseph
every
Joseph Gordon-Levitt isn't in here, because he knew better.
I'm a star now!
He had better shit to do, like be in Batman and also Looper.
Yes.
I imagine Joseph Gordon-Levitt has nightmares about making another G.I. Joe movie. Like,
I would.
Sits up sweating in the middle of the night, shirtless, and breathing heavily. And
listen, we're not interested in your Slash fan.
I was about to say, this is sorry,
it's
totally
not
a sex dream.
Slash. Not Slash, Nick. It's Mary Sue.
So you're Joseph Gordon-Levitt, is what you're saying?
No, I'm the one who comes in and calms
anyway,
him down.
You can see
back
in the cast just by looking at the poster. Like, Bruce Willis suddenly takes up, like, 50% of the poster. The next biggest chunk of it is Dwayne Johnson. Two people who were not in the first film.
No, actually, nobody really... I mean, the only person who's in the film is Snake Eyes because he wears a mask. I mean, it's the same actor, actually, but...
Channing Tatum is... He must be really... He's the last build. He's the last actor to be billed, and he was the star of the first movie. So,
Channing Tatum, I don't know how much of a spoiler this is. He dies.
I am super disappointed in the lack of Christopher Eccleston, because it's just one more franchise where he gets to do the first part and then fucks off.
But wasn't it his choice in both cases?
I don't know. I don't know if it was his choice in this case.
Eccleston just seems to have him just going... Yeah, just like then he pops up on Heroes, does a little few things on that, and gets the heck out of there faster than life.
And he should have been back for the second season.
Yep.
Because there was a scene they never did with him, because he never interacted with Hero on the show.
Mm-mm.
And there needed to be a scene where he looked at Hero and said something along the lines of, time travel, that's stupid.
Sorry,
why are we talking about Heroes? again.
I was going to say, you're talking about Heroes like it's good after season one, and I'm going to be frank with you.
It wasn't good after season one.
Listen, and guess what? I watched the entire series of Heroes.
I did too, Wesley. I was waiting for it to get better.
Oh my god.
Listen, Trent, you added
the best friend.
Trent, you added some words to that statement that didn't need to be there. You acted like Heroes was good.
Trent, that's the correct
statement.
I officially have found another fan. Like maybe it'll get better.
No, I know. Every season I was like,
it got worse.
Keeps getting reduced, so clearly it's going to get better.
Cardi!
Wasn't that the subtitle for the Series 2 box set, Heroes? It got worse.
The box set of Heroes, it got even more. It got really bad now. In season 4.
Season 4. You won't believe how much we fucked it up.
I feel like season 4 would have just been, we're sorry.
We're sorry.
Like if they had a Game of Thrones sigil, it would just be a frowny face with "it got worse" at the bottom.
Oh god,
we gotta get back to Hasbro.
Yeah, the film that we're missing in between all these Transformers and G.I. Joe films is Battleship, right?
Well, I mean that would.
I haven't seen Battleship, and Earl, you got drunk watching Battleship. So.
I don't think I got drunk watching Battleship. I drank to Battleship. You didn't get it.
Are you serious? That was a movie? I just thought that was a feature length ad for the Navy.
Really?
I thought it was a feature length ad
for robots.
I don't know what it was an ad for.
That was going to actually go. No, there's a board game. Right? There's a board game.
At some point, I don't know why this had to be based off of Battleship.
Name recognition.
I'm just waiting to see whenever I'm like, oh, please let the Candyland movie happen, just to see how in the heck they try to promote it.
I heard they're trying to make Candyland like Lord of the Rings was the last thing I read about.
The last thing?
Oh, yes! Do it! Oh, for the love of God, don't.
Can we kickstart this? I'll give them some of my money. I want to see that shit.
Stop it. Candyland 3-part, the giant trilogy of just the Candyland. I don't know. Go.
The trilogy ends with diabetes.
Yes. And this movie, the end of the movie, ends in the doctor's office. Like, you never have,
type 2 diabetes. Maybe you shouldn't have eaten your way here. Put the fork down, Patty.
See, I don't want the Candyland movie to happen.
Why?
Because I'm going to tell you right now what they're going to do with fucking Candyland. One last thing I read is that Adam Sandler is set to star and develop the film.
Oh, but he hasn't been funny since 1997.
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically that year.
And do you know who they are going to get for the female lead in that fucking movie? Do you know who they're going to hire for that?
Lady Gaga.
Katy fucking Perry. Now it's going to be Katy fucking Perry. She hasn't been cast. But they're going to do it. It's going to be Katy fucking Perry and Adam Sandler and Candy, and I'm going to have to burn a building down. I don't want to burn things.
You build more than one? Can I join you?
Listen now. Hey, Ashley, you could actually finally have your Royal Rumble match with her.
She never answers me. Katy Perry is fucking terrified of me.
Exactly.
You know what? Celebrities are kind of hard to reach.
And
I called her out time and time again. Me and her one-on-one, no holds barred at the Royal Rumble this year. She said no.
She has a Twitter.
She said no.
She has a Twitter.
Actually,
fun fact, I totally invited Tom Clancy to be my plus one at my friend Tom and Clancy's wedding.
That's awesome.
He responded to me that he was unable to fly to Canada, but he wished them all the best in the future. And I said, okay, this is a little weird now. You turned me down.
It also makes Tom Clancy.
You guys
laugh.
Awesome. I produced the email. This happened.
Wait. Is Tom Clancy not allowed in Canada?
No, I don't know. I think he just didn't want to go with the guy.
Oh, Tom Clancy.
That's pretty cool, though. That's still pretty cool. You got, like, an actual response.
That you got a response is even better.
Your name is Tom Clancy, and I'm inviting you to the Tom Clancy wedding, and you're saying, oh, what is wrong with you?
But yeah, I actually got like an actual response. The closest I've ever gotten is I got a direct message from Greg Proops on Twitter.
Oh.
Because I told him that Ty Cobb is awesome.
Nice. What's interesting is he sent a book to them, and it was signed by him, and he sent one of his books. And I'm like, okay, there you go, Tom Clancy. You get to celebrate your wedding by reading a book about terrorists taking over Vegas.
Well, yeah, it's not like he's going to send them a John Grisham book or something.
Wouldn't that be awesome?
That would be hilarious.
He just signed up a John Grisham book and just signed, this guy's an asshole. But
this guy's an asshole. Here's the real book right here, baby.
It's awesome.
Tom Clancy's officially awesome. It's awesome in my book, just for
whatever. He's not awesome in my book because he turned me down, but whatever.
But he's awesome that he responded.
Anyway, Battleship. Battleship really sucked, and the reason why is pretty clear. You take a board game that most people cheat on because the board game's premise is that you have a screen and they have a screen and you can't see what each other is doing, but you're launching strikes, like explosive strikes against each other's battleships. And then we all get to say, ha, you sucked my battleship. But that doesn't happen when you play me, because I stack the ships on top of each other, because I'm a cheap bastard.
Oh, you're one of those.
Yeah, I'm one of those people. Some people go as far as to bend one of their tankers into an L shape. Crafty.
Wow.
Crafty. Anyway, so the game is fun. Game. But I assumed if they were going to do a battleship movie, it would be more like Red October and less like Transformers. Somehow, the battleships are ships that are against giant alien robots that came from space but come out of the sea for some reason. And Rihanna's there.
Rihanna with her dead eyes.
What first thing that pissed me off more than anything about this was at no point did they ever say you sank my battleship in this entire movie.
Right?
Yeah,
right?
Why?
Not even Liam Neeson said it. He who actually released a Kraken in another film, he did not get to say that a battleship was sunk. It was very disappointing on a personal level.
I just like release.
Why wouldn't someone just put that in a script just going, you sunk my battleship?
The sad thing is, they do sink a battleship. They bring out like this old tanker battleship, and it does get sunk. And I think the guy says something like, "Oh no, my ship," something kills it, but he doesn't say my battleship.
If he didn't say I sunk your battleship, what is the point?
Exactly.
We're in the theater for one line. One line. That is the only transferable.
You had one job, baby. One job.
You have
that.
Thanks, Obama.
Actually, I bet you it was in the script and it was actually filmed, and then they cut it and like, oh, this is way too obvious. No, everyone's gonna laugh this out of the theater. It's a movie. It's Battleship, man. No one's there for a serious drama. They're here to see, you know, some battleships get sunk and people pointing out they have indeed sunk a battleship.
The funniest thing is that like Rihanna's character. I don't even know what she was trying to do. I think Rihanna just kind of is. I'm sure if you spoke to her, she would seem like functionally illiterate. Like I think she's very stupid, is what I'm trying to say. So seeing her in film trying to play someone who is not her does not work.
You just don't want to wear it. You're like Bella.
But I think she also has like two lines of dialogue throughout the entire movie.
But she's billed ahead of Liam Neeson.
Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Alexander Skarsgård is in this film. That's only noticeable because his name is Skarsgård.
Skarsgård.
And that's an awesome name.
Skarsgård. Skarsgård.
Swedish actors for the win.
68 lines of dialogue in the film.
Who does?
Rihanna has 68 lines of dialogue in Battleship.
I've read somewhere that someone's theory is that she's a sociopath in the film.
Really?
Which accounts for her dead-eyed stare and the fact that she has no emotion.
This girl was born to act, but only in one role. but only in one role. She's okay. It's like Jack Nicholson. Great actor, especially great at crazy. Rihanna, not such a great actor, but especially good at sociopathic.
There's so many really terrible comments I could write right now, but I'm not going
to. Go for it.
No, it would be too. It's offensive to me the fact that I'm even thinking.
Yeah, well, I was gonna say.
Yeah. I'm like, yeah.
Yeah.
We should talk about the future state of Hasbro films, because we have another Transformers is a reboot, right? Or the sequel to the main human characters.
The next Transformers film, I think the way it's being explained is that it happens after the third film in terms of the universe, but it doesn't involve any of the characters, so it's a successor, but it's not a direct sequel.
Okay, so it's like Ghost Rider Spirit of Vengeance.
I guess.
It's a sequel to Ghost Rider, but it assumes that it doesn't really mention anything that happened in the previous
movie. Spirit of Vengeance was a shitty movie.
It was disappointing is what it was.
He pissed fire. How could you be mad at that?
Because it was Neville Dean and Taylor. I expected way crazier.
Have you ever pissed fire, Earl?
I
did
once. I do. Though it was the movie that caused me to have an epic rant on Twitter going, he's pissing fire! What the fuck's going on? He's pissing fire!
Continues to be one of my favorite panels at a con I ever sat in on.
Yes, waiting for the Avengers panel.
Yes.
But yeah, other than a new Transformers film, we also have, and I don't know how far some of these are, because they are dated, but they don't really have a, I don't know, but there's a Stretch Armstrong film that works.
Yes.
Starring who?
The asshole from Twilight. It's the one who can't, oh wait, that doesn't narrow it down.
Does.
The one who never wears a shirt in Twilight.
Yeah, that one. The one who's not wearing a shirt.
Oh, Taylor Lautner.
Yes.
Oh. How does he continue to get acted? I guess Stretch Armstrong is going to spend most of his movie without a shirt on.
Well, I'm going to guess since he's stretching, he's probably not going to be wearing a shirt.
Fun fact, this is actually his second superhero movie. Back before he was in Twilight, he was in Shark Boy
and Lava Girl.
Shark Boy and Lava Girl. That weird kind of spinoff of Spy Kids that sucked ass.
It was Robert Rodriguez saying to his kids, hey, what do you want to see a movie about? Shark Boy and Lava Girl. All right.
Yeah, I want to punch Robert Rodriguez's kids in the face.
Oh, my God.
That
guy's not
consulting his children for his filmmaking.
That's extreme, though I can't say I disagree.
I need him around to make movies like Machete or Planet Terror. I don't want him around to make Spy Kids and Shark Boy and Lava Girl.
Oh, Planet Terror.
Planet Terror is pretty glorious.
At least he's staying the hell away from Deadpool.
From what?
Yeah.
Deadpool. I don't want him anywhere near a Deadpool movie.
No.
I can't expect that to be good.
They got the writing team from Zombieland.
Oh yeah, there's an interview with them on a Collider about it.
That's awesome. Zombieland was a really well-written movie.
Yeah. And Ryan Reynolds really wants to do Deadpool right. I think, because he doesn't.
Well, I really don't want Ryan Reynolds near that film, so.
No, I do. He'd be good.
I do.
In his brief appearance as Deadpool in and Wolverine, he was actually good. It's just, you know, that other guy showed up at the end.
That's fair.
His three lines as Wade. And the sword thing, that was cool.
Yeah. I don't know. The only thing, in my opinion, is... And I say this as a fellow Canadian. I just think he's a wang.
A what?
Oh, a wang.
Okay.
He just seems like...
Is he a number wang?
Oh, that's number wang!
That's number wang.
XT21.6.
That's number wang.
Okay.
And if you haven't seen the Mitchell and Webb, yeah.
Moving on. We also have words, and I'm kind of curious to see how they do these. of a Stretch Armstrong movie, Candyman, Gem and the Holograms, Monopoly, and Action. Yeah, yeah.
Hungry, Hungry Hippos.
Gem and the Holograms.
Oh, could they do Hungry, Hungry Hippos?
I think they did Hungry, Hungry Hippo, but I don't think it's Hasbro.
They own Parker Brothers, and Parker Brothers is part of Hasbro Empire.
I would watch the Hungry, Hungry Hippo movies, but only if those balls that the hippos have to eat are actually robots that create a bunch of explosions.
Dude, you're already giving Michael Bay ideas.
And the hippos have to be from space. They have to.
They do.
Stop
they
it.
It doesn't make sense.
Michael, it will be hippos in space with robots.
They eat robot balls.
Robot balls, okay. So,
and we'll,
get
we'll,
that cover.
We'll ask Michael Bay to direct. It'll be wonderful.
Michael Bay, eat robot balls.
Hey!
You can eat my robot balls.
Yep.
Oh, God.
I'm so sorry.
It's okay.
They've actually been talking about the Monopoly movie for a while, with Ridley Scott doing it, and he wanted to do it just very, I don't know if serious is the right word, but he wanted to do something about, you know, the financial district and how that can mess people's lives up. And I'm like, yeah, it's a board game. I love you, Ridley. I really do. You made two of my favorite movies of all time. But no. Just, no.
Oh, it looks like Ridley Scott is Action Man TV show?
What was that?
What did you say, Ashley?
The Action Man TV show. Oh, yeah. No, I said Ridley Scott is now the producer. And the Action Man TV show, the only Action Man I can ever think of is the one from Venture Brothers.
Yeah, I was just thinking that, too.
Yeah, it's weird that I actually remember the Action Man series that aired on, like, Fox for, like, 5 minutes. Like a computer animated series that aired on Fox.
I hated it so much.
It was a bad, bad series. Oh, God, it was terrible.
But it may have seemed like 5 minutes to you, but it felt like forever to me. Maybe because I just hated it so much. I don't know.
Yeah, I think I got to a point.
Guys, I'm bored talking about this already. So, Ashley, the Action Man and Venture Brothers, you know what's great about that? Entire reason they named him the Action Man is because it was a Bowie reference.
Bowie reference, yes. Because
which is awesome. Everybody, we love David Bowie, and he's the best.
He's okay.
You're fine.
He is. He is known to man. Damn it.
And it's Life on Mars.
One of my favorite songs ever.
I love that song, too. I remember that was when I first watched it. That was what got me to, like, buy everything David Bowie. Just because I heard, I like this song. Wow, this is awesome. I need to buy everything David Bowie now.
So, yeah, I'm bored of this topic.
Well, we can...
I'm not gonna lie, this is all bullshit. All these movies are gonna be horrible.
You never know.
Maybe, yeah, I can't really. I mean, I'm honestly surprised, like there's, I mean, back in the, I'm waiting for whenever they make, another My Little Pony movie, which I could actually see happening. Really,
well,
actually good.
Friendship is Magic is pretty, it has its audience.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, they do totally own Parker Brothers and Milton Bradley.
They do. That's why I referenced Ron the Space Knight earlier. They can actually use Ron.
They should make a Ouija board movie.
I was just thinking that.
Hold on.
Totally watch a Ouija movie.
I would watch the hell out of a Ouija.
There's movies that they did that aren't listed here. Like Clue.
Yeah, I'm surprised they didn't add Clue
what
in here.
What the fudge?
I was just watching the Psych episode that was an homage to the Clue movie. So.
Yeah, I kept seeing the ads for that, and I'm like, well, that might actually get me to watch this show.
It's fun. I
still didn't, but...
It's actually a really cool little episode, and they dedicate it to the memory of Madeline Kahn, and it's really
sweet. That's cool, because that movie's awesome and amazing, and everyone should love it.
Flames coming out the side of my face.
So what other movies are on this? I mean, cute. Somebody mentioned there's a Mouse Hunt movie.
Yes.
Yeah, but that's not a game.
I thought Mouse Hunt was a game.
Mouse Trap was a game.
Okay.
I don't think that's what it's Dungeons and Dragons.
Yeah, they own Wizards of the Coast. And
they do own Wizards of the Coast.
Yeah.
Why haven't we seen a Magic the Gathering movie?
I'm surprised.
Okay, did you see the Dungeons and Dragons movie?
Oh, they did.
Never
there
happened.
Was a Clue movie. There was a Clue movie.
Yep.
Yeah, and it was awesome.
It was okay.
No. No. No.
What are you doing, Kat? Get off my couch.
I've never seen the Clue movie in full, but I know that it's like half of it, the movie, is them going through the possible scenarios of what actually happened.
Yeah, they have multiple choice acting. It was awesome because in theaters, they had different prints of the movie, had different endings.
That's interesting.
So to see the other endings, you'd have to go to a different theater.
Yeah.
That's clever, actually. I like That's pretty neat.
I do like that, yeah.
But it depends if it depends on how long the ending sequence was. I wouldn't pay $15 if it was just like an additional.
Oh, I guarantee you it would end like, oh, he was killed in the study with a candlestick. And
they were completely different endings. All worked within the context of what happened before. That's what's genius about it.
It's interesting, actually, how they actually made a kind of an oddball thing to that in the Psych episode, how people could vote online to see which ending they wanted to see at the end of the episode, just to play off of that. Like, which ending do you want to see? Vote now live for which ending you want to see. And it was just pretty glorious.
You know what we need?
What?
We need, like, a really legit Bop-It movie.
God help us. That'd be glorious.
I was just thinking what it would be like to have a Jenga movie.
Yeah.
But then I realized if you make a Jenga movie, I don't think anyone wants to see a movie about towers falling.
Wait. What if John McClane...
Oh, shit. Oh, God. Let's just add this to the pile of tasteless Nerds on the Rocks jokes.
Hey, everyone. It's Nicholas Reed on Twitter.
At some point, we should compile the stuff that we've done to open up the circles of hell. I'm sure most of them will be Nick created.
Yeah,
but...
I'm a terrible, terrible person.
Or me.
Yeah, we're Ashley. Ashley's pretty
We've all said at least one joke terrible. Of, uh-oh.
I mean, how many Chris Benoit references have we made?
Yep, that's enough, show.
We've actually made none. I've cut them all out of the shows because WWE asks me to. He doesn't
Fuck
exist
you,
ever.
Chris Benoit.
You know who's a better parent than Chris Benoit? Sharks that eat their own children.
Oh, God!
He's got a point there, though, so...
You're allowed to make jokes about him, right? He's of your people.
And this is a people thing with Canadians.
I disowned him as soon as he joined the WWE.
what about Jericho?
We'll always have Jericho.
I was about to say, Bret Hart's like a national treasure.
Bret Hart doesn't know that he's not in Canada at any given moment.
Oh, actually, you'll like this. Okay, do you guys remember the D-Generation X?
Oh, God,
yeah.
They won't let you get it.
So I was at PAX East this past weekend, and I was having a conversation with Megaran. I don't know if you guys are...
Awesome.
Megaran is the shit, yeah. And I was like, so what do you think of the fact that nerd culture is so on the rise? You know, everyone's watching Big Bang Theory and getting nerdy graphic tees.
Yeah.
And he's like, you know, I like it. I like that you're able to be embraced, but I think it kind of sucks too, because you have all these posers who were never around when being a nerd was hard, you know? Mm-hmm. And then he looked at me, he's like, are you a wrestling fan? Because really, this is like when D-Generation X came back with that ass. He looked at me right in the eye, and he said, he came back with Road Dogg and Badass Billy and all of them, and Bret Michaels came back.
Shawn Michaels.
He looked and he's like, and Shawn Michaels came back and kicked their asses and was like, I was DX before DX was cool. And he's like, that's how I feel. Like, I want to kick those nerdy fans in the face.
Wow.
He
That's
just
powerful.
Said it was so legit about it. It was awesome.
but it's even better because when Shawn Michaels kicks, it just comes out of nowhere. Or it used to. I mean, his hip might make noises now.
But he could probably still do a killer first. Super kick. Now, by the way, we need a Nerf movie.
Nerf.
They have them. They're called PG-13 action movies.
Okay, that makes sense.
Everyone gets shot, but no one bleeds.
But before we get to Die Hard,
the movie would be brilliant.
But before we kind of get too sidetracked, I did ask, and some people did submit their favorite Hasbro movies.
Oh, really?
A lot of these are kind of like stuff we skipped over because I didn't want to do the animated films because we're already at our mark. Somebody said Mouse Hunt, which you determined isn't based on a game.
Yeah.
It's like
Shyamalan film, to be honest.
Is it really?
All right, no, not Shyamalan. It's what's his face? The dude who did The Ring and Pirates.
Oh.
Gore Verbinski. That's it.
Gore Verbinski.
Yeah, Shyamalan wrote Stuart Little.
Shyamalan also did the At Last Airbender movie, so fuck that guy.
Yeah, fuck that guy.
It doesn't exist. We have several people who said Transformers the movies from the 80s.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
I know so many dudes who saw that movie at an impressionable age and will admit that they cried during it.
Oh, good. That's really good.
I heard that there's this one story of when there was a kid who saw the movie and locked himself in a closet for a week. For an entire week. Because Optimus Prime died. And instead of telling this kid, like, don't worry, Optimus Prime will come back. You can come out of the closet.
Oh. Sorry, now you're definitely talking about my ex.
instead of saying that to him, one of the producers stopped by the house and said, by the way, we killed off Optimus Prime and all the other Autobots to introduce a new toy line.
Yep, there we go.
That's awesome.
You'll never see him again.
Oh,
I know you're sad.
I love that. As a kid, I
helped make the thing you really, really like. I know you like it so much that you're emotionally affected about it. What I'm saying is fuck your feelings. He's never coming back. Buy our shit.
Yeah, that's it. Because if you, I love that. That was the funny, that was the crazy part of that. Watching that the documentary on the Transformers movie. It's like we were just clearing everyone off for the new toy line.
Mm-hmm.
But no, it's like
I love the soundtrack.
My asshole of an ex vomited in his father's lap while watching Transformers in the theater.
Oh Lord!
I'm not gonna lie. I was 6 years old. I was super sad when that happened.
Well, everyone is sad.
Yeah, but I don't want to humiliate you.
Okay, to be fair, though.
I'm not still sad about it, either.
To be fair,
I'm not sad anymore.
Optimus Prime exists, like, in the world of Transformers, Optimus Prime is Paragon. Like, this is an individual who exists as the greatest of the good, the defender of all righteous things, the one most selfless being on the planet, and we've been with him for about 2 to 3 seasons by the time this film comes out. And in a moment of spectacular not triumph, he goes down and he turns gray and they say, oh no, we can't fix him. And every part of you is like, no, this can't be happening. Optimus Prime is the shit. Once more, Optimus Prime is a robot. You can fix robots. I have logic, and I'm 9 years old. But they say, no, we're moving on. Let's just throw this pile of scrap out back and create a new Optimus. Rodimus Prime.
Even better,
Rodimus
is
so popular.
Rodimus Prime. Hot Rod had no personality. I don't care what anyone says. He's a decent character who had no personality.
Even better was when the next season, when they started to do the whole, like, teasing him returning, then an episode where he came back as, like, some sort of robot space zombie.
Infected
other robots just by touching them, and then they took care of it somehow. They're like, he's never coming back. And then had a 5-part The Return of Optimus Prime.
Yep.
They're like, oh, shit, guys, my bad. Also,
we need a new toy.
Power Masters.
We need a new toy. What? We need to get Optimus Prime toy back, but he's... But he's still dead. Bring him back! Damn it, bring him back!
You're losing sight of things. We didn't want the character because it's a good story. We wanted the character to sell merchandise.
Exactly! That's what their brains go. It's like, crap, the toy line's not selling as many toys. Bring Optimus back.
All right, here, I got a question for y'all then. This is related to the topic of the animated Hasbro films.
Go for it.
Which is the dumber plot twist? Rodimus Prime. Okay. Or Cobra Commander turning out to be an actual snake.
Oh, God.
The actual literal snake.
Oh,
that.
Cobra Commander wins, dude.
I'm not even saying it's good or bad, because obviously they're both terrible. But in terms of batshit insanity and, like, what the fuck are you guys thinking showing this to children, that the G.I. Joe movie is fucking crazy.
It is!
It's just crazy.
It's like the Cobra, the Cobra Law was just this that crap insane idea of, you know, we're gonna have a big, like, I love the visuals are just insane in that film, or just like the guy with the giant snake body.
Oh, and, god damn it. Globulus.
Globulus, thank you.
Voiced by Burgess Meredith.
Thank you. I forgot about that.
That's what I wanted the G.I. Joe sequel to be. I wanted them to go to Cobra Law. Once again, my hopes and my dreams are dashed upon the, like, so many rocks upon the shoreline.
Well, hey, you got Sergeant Slaughter in the movie, so.
I don't give a shit about that guy.
He's Sergeant Slaughter. Sergeant Slaughter's awesome.
I want Serpentor. I want a bad guy who's made up of the genetic material of all the world's conquerors. And also Dick Cheney, I'm assuming, at this point.
Because that would make true evil.
Brilliant.
All the world's conquerors would just make him extremely pragmatic and charismatic. They need true evil, so they need to have Cheney.
And it is really funny how the whole thing with Duke at the end of the film, who was supposed to die, and then it's like he comes out of his coma.
They just have an 80-yard line with, like, apropos of nothing, just saying, Duke's gonna make it, he's gonna be okay, and that's it.
Because they didn't want to kill him.
They
didn't want to traumatize the children again.
That's why I wanted Dennis Quaid to be back for the sequel, too, because I wanted him to end up in a wheelchair again somehow. That was my favorite part. That dude, like, they had to know they were doing that. That they had this dude who gets shot a couple times and then straight up stabbed in the back and in the front, and then it's just like, oh no, he's in a wheelchair, he's fine.
It is pretty glorious how they just go, yeah, goes to die, then nope.
I'm gonna say those are all, you know, you have your impressionable moments. There was, long before Friendship is Magic, another My Little Pony series. And the first episode they did, and this was, you know, they had the humans come to the magical pony land because they had to save the ponies because there was this evil king capturing them and turning them into evil dragons.
Porn start?
This is where.
This is how porn start, right? And then the horse ends up fucking some chick?
No. Oh. My God, what have you been reading?
The internet.
But there is this horrifying scene where, like, he opens this bag of darkness and these ponies are, like, turned into these giant dragons. And it is this terrifying scene. There's actually, I want to say it's, there's some site that has, like, the list of, like, the top 10 most disturbing moments in children's TV shows. This is number one, and there's a reason for that. Because it's fuck up. And then you get to the very end of the episode and they defeat him with a rainbow. They defeat him with a fucking rainbow. You want to talk about lame plot twists? Rainbow saves the day by turning the darkness into light.
So it became Rainbow Bright?
No, because that was awesome.
Yeah, it was.
Rainbow Bright was not awesome.
Fuck you.
Go back and watch the show. There again, when I was watching it, I was also on, like, I had chicken pox. So I hated everything. But I remember not liking Rainbow Bright.
I actually, when I had the chicken pox, rewatched the Rainbow Bright movie 3 times a day at least. While I was at home, my mother was ready to kill me. But yes, no, Rainbow Bright. She had a magical horse. I mean, any character with a magical horse. It's the same thing with She-Ra. She-Ra had a magical horse that turned into a magical Pegasus. Fucking awesome.
Wow.
Just to kind of rattle off some more of these, we had Battleship. I'm sure some people were messing with me, I hope. We had Transformers.
Yeah, yeah.
We had Transformers 3. Oh, the original animated G.I. Joe movie. The original.
Good.
So yeah, those are just some of the. Those are the answers we got. So I mean, I think we kind of hinted at this, but I guess to have it on the record, what is your favorite Hasbro movie?
Rise of Cobra.
Yeah, Rise of Cobra.
Because it's the best Star Wars movie since 1983.
And I guess of the four or five that we talked about, the only one that's actually a really good movie. Okay, yeah. I really enjoy it.
I know I keep saying that, but I honestly think we could spend an entire podcast just comparing things in the first G.I. Joe film with Star Wars and showing the one-to-one correlation between them.
Oh, it would be like how there's that whole thing about how Toy Story and The Walking Dead are the same plot.
Oh, yeah, except true. Not just internet bullshit.
His face is internet bullshit.
Oh.
It is. Not going to lie. I'm all over the place. Kick the street on Twitter.
Oh, shit.
Facebook.com/ How It Became Invisible.
Chill away. Chill away.
Hey, bitches, buy my shit. Support my Wawa hat.
Shill, shillery, shill, shill, shiru.
Hey, listen, I have to make money because I don't have a job. And no one is paying me to write columns about movies, Earl.
Hey, Earl's not getting paid either. So. But yeah, I think that's it for us this week. Unless you folks have anything else to say.
There's nothing much more to say. I mean, it's kind of sad. It's like, I still have never seen the first G.I. Joe movie.
Change that.
I will. I'll rectify that very soon. I've never seen the other three Transformers movies, which I've been... I've been universally told I'm better off. And I'm not sure I ever want to see Battleship in my entire life.
I think if you want something big, dumb, and stupid, there are better movies.
Are you giving me your permission to get drunk while watching Battleship like you do?
No. If you want big, dumb, and stupid action movies, I can give you a lot more films than Battleship to recommend. Heck, I would recommend most of Seagal's lineup before I recommend Battleship.
True. Okay.
I feel like at this point, people would recommend Van Helsing over Battleship.
No.
I wouldn't go that far.
Listen, the furthest I'd go is that I would recommend the Total Recall remake, which I absolutely despise. Like, I hated it. Flames, the side of my face.
That's my face.
Because of that fucking movie. Oh my god, that fucking Total Recall movie. But I would recommend that over any of the Transformers films.
Okay.
Yeah, I'd rather watch a Transformers movie than Len Wiseman's interpretation of Total Recall.
Different because I fucking hate Transformers and Battleship movies so much, goddamn much.
I would recommend Transformers 1 and 3. I think I'm soft on 3 because it makes up for how crappy 2 was. Yeah. It's one of those cases like we got complete shit here. They're just kind of giving us shit. So yeah, we're gonna wrap now. We'll be back next week with our WrestleMania 29 podcast.
Oh hell yeah!
Best in the world.
Woo! I was gonna say our podcast will probably give more attention to WrestleMania than the WWE has over the past month and a half.
Yes. Yes.
You know what's gonna be even worse about this one is I'm gonna be like, I've just been kind of hit or miss watching Raw because I've just been so, but I'm
not
pretty
interested.
Much up. I've been reading all the recaps, so I'm caught up, and I feel like, I'm good.
I was about to say, it doesn't even matter if you read the recaps, because like, three matches were added to the card today, and they don't even have, they weren't added on the show.
That's because Vince McMahon can't stop tinkering with shit.
Which, I mean, I don't mind.
They had an entire card set.
It blows my mind.
It changed entirely.
It blows my mind that Vince McMahon is a real person. You know what I mean?
Who's a real person who's probably in some ways a more over-the-top villain in real life than he ever was on TV.
Yeah, actually, so, yeah, that makes sense.
I hope his family is just as crazy and stupid as it sounds.
It sounds like most of them are.
Actually, it seems like Triple H is relatively calm in comparison to Vince.
He's the
sane
one somehow.
He's from the sane one. Just
sane, but he's in danger of becoming the criminal mastermind who manipulates all of the crazy people around him.
So Hulk Hogan?
Yes. Like,
all I can say is this. Triple H is the one who managed to get Bruno Sammartino to agree to be in the WWE Hall of Fame. I'll say Triple H is the sane one because he managed to actually make that happen.
He's also the one that made losing to The Undertaker at WrestleMania somehow him winning.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
But we will save that for next week's show. Check out the website. Nicholas has his A to Z Cinema this week with Scott Pilgrim versus the World. As we mentioned earlier, Trent chickened out of his acid dark this week by saying both.
Whatever.
Okay, well, we'll catch you next week.
You
later.
Bye.
Oh, shit.